You and Me and BPD, Season 4, Episode 8, Love Me More. In today's episode, I'm going to be referencing a lot of Mitski songs. If you don't know who Mitski is, she's an amazing musical artist, and I recently kind of rediscovered her music. And it spoke to something within me that I think is really, really prevalent in the BPD community and also in my own life. And this conversation is going to be about love. It's going to be about needing to be loved, wanting to be loved, why we search for love in the different ways that we search for it, and ultimately about this kind of longing that I know a lot of us carry. And I didn't do a lot of research for this episode because I'm just going to be talking about my own experiences. But I also know that of the different messages I get from people about this podcast, I would say a good 80 to maybe 85% of them are about relationships. Specifically, loving relationships and partnerships and how hard it can be to navigate what it means to be in a relationship with someone. And I think that, you know, love is one of those things that it's sold to us in a very easy perspective. I know when I was younger, I thought for a very long time that I would just meet somebody in high school and get married and my life would be perfect and I would never need anything else except for the love of the one person that was going to love me. And I had to recognize that that wasn't going to be my path and it wasn't going to be my life. Not that that doesn't happen, but just that it wasn't going to happen for me. And I just think that there's aspects to loving relationships that are often made harder because of our disorder. And I'll go into the different reasons why. But the two kind of main songs I'm going to be referencing by Mitski are a song called Nobody. It's a really popular song. And also, it's another song called Love Me More. Another one that also kind of fits in with this kind of narrative, this episode, I guess, would be one that's called Should Have Been Me. And these three songs kind of, they're on rotation in my brain. And I use music to express a lot of how I feel. And when I've been listening to these songs, it's been reminding me that as much as I'm in, you know, a loving partnership, and I've been with my partner now for like 8 years, there's still an aspect of me that needs to be loved, that wants to be loved, that searches for love in the actions that I do, in the things that I decide I'm going to go out of my way to do for my partner. And it's almost like this kind of this intense need that is within me to feel loved in a way that I can feel secure and I can feel happy with myself. And I've spoken to other people about this who have messaged me, and it's almost like without this love from somebody else, it's almost like we don't feel complete enough. And I think that that's something that is very interesting when it comes to the BPD community, because when you look up BPD and love, you find all of these different topics that show how hard it is to love somebody with BPD. You know, it's hard to love us because of our emotional baggage. It's hard to be with somebody who changes their ideas and opinions and mood so quickly, and somebody who is so reactive. And it takes a lot of effort from somebody else to love us. But at the same time, we are also the people that want love the most. And we are also the people who, you know, will go out of our way to try to fix a situation so that we can feel like we are loved by the people that we want to be loved by. And in the last episode, I spoke about childhood emotional neglect, and I think it really does come back to that. It comes back to our early childhood experiences, and specifically our relationships to the people in our life and our relationships to our family. Because I know when I was a kid, I was told, "I love you," but it always felt like I was loved because I did something correct. It wasn't love that was just because of who I am. It was a love that was because of something that I did. And so I always felt this need to like prove myself, this need to prove that I can be loved, that I am worthy of love, that I deserve love. And in one of Mitski's songs, she says, "I need you to love me more. Love me more, like love enough to drown it out." And whenever I kind of think about that, I think that that's still how I feel. Like, I am in this relationship, and yet I still tell my partner, I need love. Do you love me? The question, it always comes back to the question of, do you love me? As if somehow hearing the answer yes is going to cure everything. And I think it also stems from not only childhood, but also from, you know, a negative self-opinion of ourselves, of we are fundamentally, I believe that I am not a good person, right? Like, I believe that I have done bad things in my life, and that I am not worthy to be loved because of the bad things I've done. When in reality, I'm actually not that bad a person at all. And I know that, right? I know that I've made mistakes in my life, but I'm not a bad person. And yet, I still look for this love from other people, from other things, from my partner. And that puts a lot of pressure on them. Right? It puts a lot of pressure on them to have to prove that they love me. And it also creates an unstable relationship, because especially early on, I was thinking that if I did anything wrong, my partner was going to leave me, and, you know, I was going to be alone again, and I really didn't want that. And that fear that I'm going to be alone kind of created this wall of, okay, I'm not going to actually let them see me struggle, because if they see me struggle, they're going to leave just like everybody else has left, because I'm a horrible person and I'm too hard to love. And it creates this spiraling kind of out of control intensity that is very often overwhelming in a new relationship. And if you've ever heard the term love bombing, it's very common in the BPD community to try to prove to people that they should love you by love bombing them, by telling them how much you love them and expecting that in return. And fundamentally, not everybody that you love is going to love you the same way, or is going to love you the way that you need to be loved. And it took me a while to learn that not everybody is capable of loving as much and as intensely as I am. And that's okay. Everybody has their own ways that they express what it means to be loved and what it means to love you. But still, there's that nagging little voice in the back of my head that says, but I need to be loved all the time. I need to be told I'm loved all the time. And it's rather embarrassing to think about that, to think that that's something that I need. And for a long while, I think I wanted to avoid feeling that way. I wanted to think like, even in my relationship, I didn't say I love you at the beginning because I was like, if I say I love you, then that means that I'm letting this person in on myself and in on what I need. And that's scary, and I don't want to let this person in. And yet, here I am now, being in this relationship, being 31, and still knowing that I have this incessant need to be loved. And it is a part of me. And it is part of the way that I interact with the world. And I sometimes think, like, that's pretty fucked up. Like, I'm a pretty fucked up individual because of that. But one of the beautiful aspects of this podcast that I've appreciated so much is hearing from other people that they feel the same, or that they struggle with the same things, or that, you know, they sit around and they think about how much they want to be loved and how much they want to express that love to somebody else, and how it just doesn't feel like it works out for them. And if that's you, I hope you know that you're not alone in that. I know I'm one person. And I know that you might think, like, oh, well, you're lucky you found the person to love you. But, like, I still struggle with it. And even when you're in a relationship, sometimes that can be even harder because you're constantly questioning whether or not this person actually loves you. Do they actually love me? Do they actually care about me? Or are they just messing around with me? And that kind of lack of trust that we have with other people is something that I think is very prominent and common within the BPD community, within people who are living with this diagnosis, is this kind of being on guard, almost like waiting for things to fall apart. And in one of Mitski's songs, specifically the Nobody song, she says, and I know no one can save me, I just need someone to kiss. Give me one good, honest kiss, and I'll be all right. And I think that encapsulates something that a lot of us struggle with, which is thinking that potentially, if we can fill ourselves up with love, if we can fill ourselves up with the care of somebody else, of needing somebody else, then we'll be fine, at least for a little while. But reality is, we have to learn how to love ourselves. And that is possibly the hardest thing. You know, like, when my brain says I'm a bad person and I'm not a good person and I am not worthy of the partnership that I've created and the marriage that I've created, it's like I kind of have to counterbalance the part of my head that says that and say, actually, no. No. I am a good person and I am deserving of love. And I think that comes from, you know, the neglect of childhood, of feeling like I'm doing something wrong and maybe that's why I'm not getting the support and the love that I need from my parents and from my friends. And maybe I'm the weird one. And it's been on my head recently that, like, I keep on looking at other people and comparing myself and thinking, oh, maybe if I was like this, then I would be better. And in reality, I don't think that's a very good thing to do. You know, I think that we have to learn how to love ourselves every step of the way. And for a long time, I thought I was healed, and if I just continued to you know, feel better, then eventually I would be better overall. And I realized that this disorder is something that is lifelong. Yeah, I always kind of mention it, but it is something that changes, and it's something that grows. And as our understanding of ourselves grow, we hit a more honest realization of what we need and what we're capable of. And we come to better understand why we are the way we are. And love is one of those things that I think so many people want to rush through. So many people want to find it. And sometimes it's the very forefront of your mind. It's the only thing you can think about is how much you want to be loved, how much you want somebody to love you. And you neglect to realize that you don't even love yourself. And that loving yourself is possibly the best thing that you can do. And it's hard. You know, it's hard to love yourself when you feel like you're constantly doing something wrong, when you feel like your very existence is wrong. And I think that's why we look for love in other places. And, you know, people write songs about love, and people talk about love, and people make movies about love. And it's always in terms of loving someone else, when in reality, it's like, no one can fix you. No one can take that part of you that feels broken and wrong and all those different things and put it all back together again. You ultimately need to learn how to love you and find ways to acknowledge the good parts of you and the parts that are deserving of love. Because even like when people message me about the podcast and they tell me how much the podcast is helping them, there's a part of me that wants to be like, you don't know how messed up of an individual I am. You don't know how much anxiety I carry. You don't know the struggles I live with. Like, if you knew, you wouldn't think that I was a good person anymore. And it's like, struggling does not negate the goodness of you. Doesn't mean that you're a bad person. And wanting to be loved doesn't mean you're a bad person either. I still want to be loved, and I am very fortunate and lucky, and I recognize that I found someone who can give me the love that I need. And I'm also probably always going to be searching for more love. And I had a conversation a while ago with somebody who said, what do you think about polyamory? Like, do you think that polyamory can solve a lot of the problems that we live with in terms of our needing to be loved? And I am a non-monogamous person. I don't necessarily believe in monogamy, but I have been with my partner in just a single partnership for a very long time. But that doesn't mean that I believe that, you know, my partner can fill everything that I need, because I know they can't. But I also don't think that anybody can. I don't think that whether you are in a monogamous relationship or not, I don't think that one person can give you all of the love you need in your life, because that just puts a lot of pressure on that person. And whether you have one partner or you have four or five, I think that fundamentally, when you are searching for love, when you are looking for love in other people, and you're neglecting to look at the parts of yourself that you need to love, then you're just going to keep on running around in circles. And it is hard, and it's complicated. And I think that some people, they still want love to be very simple. Like, I know I always wanted it to be very simple. And in reality, it's not always simple. Sometimes it is complicated, and sometimes it is hard to love yourself and love other people, and it's hard for people to love you. And sometimes we put up these walls because we don't want to be hurt, And because of those walls, we push people away. And sometimes we desperately want people to love us, and they don't have the capacity for that. They don't know how to get through the walls that we built. And if that's you, if you're in that position and you're desperately searching for love, well, maybe you need to start loving yourself. And loving yourself can mean many different things. I think first and foremost, it starts with self-compassion and kindness, you know, and recognizing that the part of your brain that is telling you that you're a bad person or that you're undeserving is just a thought. It's just a voice in your head. And it doesn't define you. And maybe the things that you've done in your past, you carry a lot of guilt for, but those things don't define you either. And who you were doesn't define your future. But also that we need to create space within us to find love. We need to create space within us to love ourselves. So if you're like wound up in these negative self-talk and this negative self-esteem and stuff and carrying guilt, sometimes that can hinder us from being able to move forward. And it's hard to love yourself. It's hard to be face to face with the fact that you are a human and that you're flawed and that you're not always going to do the correct things. But you also have to have trust that, you know, you're not expected to be perfect. And if you're in a relationship where the person is expecting you to be perfect, then they need to wake up and realize that no one is perfect. That we can't all just expect each other to be perfect all of the time. Because nobody is. And I know this is kind of all over the place, but I just think that there's this pressure on us to fall in love and to be in relationships, and that sometimes the greatest love we can find is in our friendships. It's in the mundane relationships that we have in our everyday life. It's in opening up ourselves to show more love to others, and also to know when we need love. And what does that look like for you? What are you searching for? Are you searching for somebody that you can spend your time with? Are you searching for somebody who's going to support your hobbies, who's going to share hobbies with you? Like, I think that sometimes we have such high expectations for other people, and it's great when they can meet them, but sometimes they can't. And we have to be okay with letting people go when they can't meet our expectations, even if it hurts. In the song Should Have Been Me, Mitski references being lost in a maze. And she says, "I haven't given you what you need. You wanted me, but you couldn't find me. I'm sorry, it should have been me." And it's kind of reflective of this idea that sometimes we're so stuck in our own heads that we don't even allow people to love us the way that they can. And that's hard to recognize. You know, it's hard to acknowledge and be honest with the fact that sometimes we want to be in a relationship and we're in a good relationship, or we're just so stuck on thoughts of a relationship that we haven't actually been in it. We haven't actually experienced it. We haven't actually given ourselves the time to be who we can be. And that even in a relationship, we're going to walk around with this longing. I mean, I still do. And that's kind of why I wanted to make this episode, because it's kind of like, I sometimes I get messages from people saying, like, how can I be a more supportive partner? How can I be more loving? How can I show this person I care about them more? And it's like, well, maybe they need to show themselves that they care about themselves. You can't fix somebody else. Nobody can fix me. You know, like, I don't have the expectation that my partner is going to be able to take this intense longing that I have and fill it up completely and make it go away. And I think when I was younger, I did have that expectation. I had the expectation that, you know, the other person is going to make me feel amazing and is going to make me feel like I never have to struggle ever in my life. And the more that I've grown up, the more I've realized that that's just so incredibly just not correct. You know, it's not how life is, and it's not how relationships function, and that I have to grow as a person, and I have to find ways to show myself love. You know, I do that personally. I do that through my meditation practice. I do that through listening to the negative self-talk that I tell myself and counterbalancing it with recognizing that I'm not alone in any of this. I'm not alone in this needing and this intense longing to be loved. And there are many people out there who feel the same way. And that all thoughts will pass. All emotions will be here. And then they'll be gone, replaced by other emotions and other experiences. That it's okay to acknowledge how you're feeling. And if you want to be loved, it's okay to acknowledge that. And it's okay to name it. You know, to say, I really need you to show me how much you love me. To your friends, to your family, to your partners. Not to your kids. Kids are a whole different topic because they didn't ask to be here. But I don't know. I think if you listen to Mitski, please message me because I could have a whole conversation about her music. But one of the things is just how open and honest she is with how she feels. And it's really, listening to her music has really kind of touched the part of my brain that is very self-reflective. And if you live with BPD, I'm sure you're also very self-reflective, because that's one of the things that I've been learning about our kind of people, is how intensely aware we are, how acutely aware we are of ourselves and our motivations and what we need. And sometimes we just need to be loved more. Sometimes we need more. It's not going to be all the time, you know? But sometimes it is. And sometimes we're going to feel like nobody loves us. And that's where we have to take ourselves, you know, take our own hand or hug ourselves and say, well, I love you. And I'm here for you. Even if it feels like no one else is. I hope this episode has been helpful in some way. I honestly don't know. I just really felt the, like, compulsion, the compellingness to speak about love. And if you're interested in talking about Mitski, you know where to message me. You can reach out on my Instagram at journey, journey .bound, bound. And I will see you in the next episode, which will probably be out next week or so. And I hope you know that I love you. I truly do. I love you just like the trees and the stars and the clouds. Love you. And I am right there with you, wherever you are in the world. Bye.